Critically acclaimed authors Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley have joined forces to write a new novel, All American Boys, inspired by recent controversial events and the national firestorm over police brutality. Rashad Butler and Quinn Collins are two young men, one black and one white, whose lives are forever changed by an act of extreme police brutality. Rashad wakes up in a hospital, Quinn saw how he got there, and so did the video camera that taped the cop beating Rashad senseless into the pavement. That is the way that All American Boys begins, written in tandem by Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley, who join us on the roundtable this morning. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, Jason, let us begin with you of how this project came together with the two of you working on it.
Yeah, no problem. So Brendan and I were on tour together last year, actually, for two separate books that we had both published, Du Simon and Schuster, and they put us on tour together to tour the country, and that was the first time that either of us had met each other. And it just so happened to be coming after the George Zimmerman verdict. And so here we are on tour together. The verdict is sort of stewing in my gut, so to speak. And what makes the matter worse is that I'm with a stranger. And so it's hard to sort of communicate the feeling of frustration and anger that I was feeling at the time. But as we continued to travel, the conversation eventually came up. And Brendan was as frustrated and as upset as I was and as outraged as I was by that particular verdict. And as we continued to travel, the terrible incidents of police brutality and vigilante murders continued to happen. And so we continued to talk about it, and we got further and deeper and down the rabbit hole, so to speak, all the way up until the moment that Michael Brown was killed in Ferguson. And that was sort of the final straw, the impetus, in which Brendan came to me and said, hey, man, we have to do something. And because all we really do is write, it seemed like the most natural reaction was for us to produce a piece of work around the issue.
So, Brendan, in this novel, we read about Rashad Butler and Quinn Collins. They are two young men, one black, one white. Tell us about how you brought the two of them together and what you wanted their circumstances to be.
Sure. Well, so when Jason and I agreed then to write this book together, we recognized that in order to keep the story as authentic as possible, we wanted to brainstorm separately, Jason writing Rashad's character and me writing Quinn's character. And we wanted to figure out who these kids were. I mean, basically, we think about Martin Luther King's famous speech at Grosse Pointe High School, where he talks about two Americas living side by side. And we wanted to create a reflection of that reality that still exists today by putting two kids who are in the same high school, in the same town, and set them at the same corner store when they're on their way to the same party that night. And yet their lives are so absolutely different. So Rashad, right there in chapter one, is brutalized by a police officer, and Quinn, who witnesses the event, also recognizes the police officer as the man who has stepped in and become a father figure for Quinn in Quinn's life, because Quinn's own father has passed away. And so by setting these two kids side by side like that, but showing how vastly different their experiences are, what we hope to do is create an honest conversation across the country, but certainly for every reader who reads the book, about why is this the case? Why are their lives so different, even though they're there living in the same neighborhood?
Jason, when the two of you came together, and obviously you're looking at police brutality and the community response, and this takes place over a week, it's a rather confined period of time that you're writing about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, but at the end of the day, I think it was important for us to sort of confine it within a week and within a week's time, just to show just how much happens within a week. I mean, you think about the Ferguson case,
right?
You think about how much time passed, just in 7 days, how much changed. And shifted in terms of the protests, and in terms of the march, and in terms of the entire world getting on board in 1 week's time due to social media and its power and the spreading of that word. And so it was necessary. So a week didn't seem so outlandish, you know, or so it didn't seem like an expedited time, just because in today's time, a week is a lifetime, right? It seems like so long.
And when you look at the relationship between these two young men, what is it that you wanted to say about that, Brendan, of how the two of them ultimately relate to one another?
Well, this is what I think is fascinating about the book, is that although they're there in that same moment together, so to speak, right there in chapter one, the book then sends them spiraling in their different directions back into their, if you will, sub-communities within their own town. And so in some sense, what we're talking about is look at how, again, this reflection on the two Americas living side by side, look at how they're different. And more importantly, look at also how they're similar, right? So both boys have to come to terms with who they're going to be after this moment. Rashad survives the moment of police brutality and then has to cope with what is my life like now that I've become a hashtag, now that people are talking about me. Am I going to become a figurehead for this movement? And Quinn has to recognize, okay, now that I've seen this, and now that I've seen that my own hero, my own father figure, somebody who we might even say is a figure for authority in the United States across the board, how do I recognize my respect for that, but also think about what the right thing to do is, to stand up and stand for some principle. And so Quinn's story then is also about, well, how am I going to publicly let people know that I too feel that this is wrong? And so it's these two kids accepting these roles that are forced upon them, really. In fact, as is often the case for anybody who's thrown into these situations.
Yeah, Jason, you certainly delve into this, and as you say, a lot can happen in a week, and you noted the Ferguson case and others where certainly a lot does happen. And a lot of that, of course, is those flames are fanned by the media. It's something that you address in the book as this becomes a headline.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that when we think about the victims of police brutality, we typically think of them as victims who have been murdered. But there have been several times, I mean, thousands and thousands of victims who have survived. And we don't ever take the time to think about how those victims are still human beings and how their families are human beings and their communities and their friends are all human beings, and that they have to stew, unfortunately, but understandably, but unfortunately, they have to stew in the constant media cycle. And every time you turn the TV on, it's your face or a 30-second video clip of your brutalization. And every time you log onto the Internet, it's your name that's a hashtag, and it's people talking about you, and everyone has an opinion about your life. And I really wanted to sort of unpack and dive into some of the nuances and the complexities of what it really means to be a victim of police brutality, and that it isn't just sort of a martyrdom, and it isn't just sort of being exalted on some pedestal as a symbol, but it's actually a human experience and a terrible, terrible moment of pain and fear and confusion. And I think that was like a really important thing for me to drive home.
And Brendan, these characters also learn what, as you say that, as Jason was just talking about that dialogue, but it's something that their peers get involved in. They get involved in that dialogue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to tell you, I really appreciate that question quite a bit, because I think for us tackling this tough subject, one of the things that that gives me hope is, in fact, responding to the hope that I saw in the eyes of students that I taught. I worked at a high school for 10 years. You know, young people across the country have energy and have hope. And in some regard, I wanted to make sure that I honored that too, because as the story unfolds, it's the students in the community who begin to really rally and do something about this. And that's Quinn, but also, in fact, it's many of the young girls in the school who are real leaders, just as they are in real life, leaders of many movements. And so for us, we wanted to honor that strength and courage that young people have. And in fact, it's almost like the movement of Black Lives Matter is a decentralized movement, grassroots movement that comes out of communities that were most affected by these moments of brutality. And so we're mirroring that and honoring that exact same experience in our novel.
The book is written, obviously, for young adults, and I'm curious as to the conversations that the two of you had, Jason, of, obviously, you work with that audience, so of telling that story, of talking about this issue and putting it in terms and in scenarios that very much resonate.
I mean, I think for us it was sort of a no-brainer the young adult audience, the truth is that if we're not talking to the youth, who exactly are we speaking to, especially when it comes to social change and what the world looks like 20 years down the line? I think we talk to the people who are going to make that change happen. We talk to the brain children and the seedlings who have all the potential in the world and far less scars than the rest of us. And so it was easier for us to sort of, and not to mention, and besides all those things, these teenagers are also the ones who are oftentimes the victims. They are oftentimes the ones who are involved in these incidents. And so we wanted to make sure that we gave them some voice, and that if nothing more, that we gave them a tool to have this conversation safely and responsibly. Because as we've traveled the country, we've asked this question. We've always asked them how many of them know about what's going on, and 100% of them raised their hands. And then we asked them how many of them have been speaking to each other about these incidents, and almost none of them raised their hands, which led us to believe that perhaps they're not talking about it because it's hard and it's difficult and it's scary. And so if we can present a platform where they can talk about the characters, Rashad and Quinn, then they don't have to talk about Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin and Tamir Rice and Rekia Boyd. They can talk about Rashad and Quinn, and that can be sort of almost like avatars to the larger world, which I think is helpful.
I was struck, and I'll ask you this, Brendan, because you wrote the character of Quinn, but there's a point where Quinn is talking to a friend of his, a female, a girl, and he's talking to her, and he said, you know, it's my problem, I just don't know what to do, and she says, but it isn't only your problem, it's everybody's problem.
Yeah, I think it's really important. So I'm speaking as a white person in the United States, and I think it's really important to vocalize this within white families, predominantly white communities, that although all too often we see these stories happening in communities of color, that we are involved. This is our city, too. This is our country, too. And in fact, what oftentimes happens on the news is you see many white commentators and hosts trying to avoid the issue of racism as much as possible. And I felt like it's really important for us to recognize that this is a part of our history, and our history lives today. And if we turn our backs on it again and again, we're going to perpetuate this kind of violence. And so instead, let's address it head on and just be honest about it and include that in all of these conversations about police brutality, about law enforcement brutality, about injustice in general in the United States. Because if we don't do it now, I fear we're going to perpetuate the problem. And so that's, again, why I think that it's great that we have young adults talking about this, because I think it sends a message that if we can feel comfortable providing this kind of language for young adults, that when they're adults, the world might look quite different.
You mentioned this, Jason, a moment ago, that you are not talking about the headlines, you're talking about these characters of Quinn and Rashad, and yet you do very much bring the stories from the headlines into the story and bring those names into the end of the story.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, I'm a student of the school of thought that the spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Right. And so if instead of me starting the story with, you know, those names that we all know all too well, I thought it was more poignant. And I thought to honor the lost young people who have died, I thought it was important to make sure that we added them, and we added them honestly, and we put their real names in the book so that the young people who read this book at the end of it have some context, right? They have some weapons, they have some tools, they have some language around this conversation, and they know who I mean, we're talking about a snapshot of some of these victims were. They know those names, and they can always remember those names, and I think sometimes we need to immortalize victims. We need to immortalize the people who have unfairly lost their lives, if nothing more, for a constant reminder to us all what is capable and what is possible for the future.
The name of the book, All American Boys, by Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley. It's published by Simon and Schuster. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing.
Great to be here.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is All American Boys by Jason Reynolds and Brendan Kiley. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.